We have returned. Over a month ago, the comic book press, along with other leftist blogs, decided to make the Make Mine Milkshake hashtag a thing. A huge deal, because a few goofballs on the internet decided to be jackasses, and to be mean to Marvel employees on the internet. Stupid! Yeah. I think it's pointless. I don't see much of a point in those things. There's no point to just antagonize someone for the sake of antagonizing. It's gotta have a point to it, I think. But at the end of the day, it's not like you can't ignore people when they're being stupid on the internet. I do it all the time. I think a lot of people do. I was very vocal about how pointless it was. On both sides, by the way. And yet it happened. I did a stream with other content creators on the Honey Badger's channel about the controversy and where comic books are headed. Now, the week after we did that stream and I said, oh no, this is not a thing, this is not the next Gamergate, a writer at Bleeding Cool named Joe Glass penned the Gamers Are Dead parallel called The World of Comics is a Serious Problem, Trolls. I declared it, and I stand by my declaration, that Comicsgate has started. We are over a month in, and things are continuing to deteriorate. We'll be discussing the issues within comics, the writers, and where to go from here. My name is Micah Curtis.
And I'm Alex Baldwin, also known as the Hat Man.
And welcome to Micah and the Hat Man. Okie dokie. So, we don't have a lot of time this week, sadly. I'm pressed for time, and I'm exhausted, and I'm apparently catching a cold. So, we are just going to get right into the fun stuff, skipping what's been digested this week. At some point, I will probably just discuss it a little bit more in length. It's basically just Game of Thrones Season 7 for me, and didn't have anything. So, but I promise I will talk Game of Thrones. I'm a huge fan of the series, except for, like, Season 3. But the it's definitely something worth talking about. It's just not as worthwhile as what is going on right now in the comic book community. So, Comicsgate. Mind if I share a little, like, a personal feeling before we really get into, like, the nitty-gritty of things?
Go right ahead.
First off, I didn't want this to happen. I was honestly hoping that the comic book press was not going to continue to press forward on this. I honestly hoped that they were just going to go just stick to what they're doing. Reporting news and... Excuse me. Reporting news and reviewing comic books. That's all I want. I think that's all anyone really wants at the end of the day. But they would not stop. They would not let stuff go at all. Because the whole Make Mine Milkshake thing, the amount of people who actually said mean stuff on the internet directly to those girls that took the photo, Heather Rantos and the others, probably about 5 people. It's not much. Yeah, and I've been very vocal about how stupid I thought that was because, you know, it basically gave their virtue signaling credence. You know, that sort of stuff is just... In this culture war, we are embroiled, and it is not a good tactic. You know, if you want to point out stupidity, point it out on stupid things going on that are worth pointing out. Like, if they say something that is, like, just flat-out wrong. When they say, like... let's say, like, Peter David gets on Twitter and says, oh, 1 in 5 women are raped on college campuses. Yeah, correcting him and calling him silly for that makes sense because he was being silly and he's not being truthful. But if they're just being goofy girls, like, what the hell is the point of getting, you know, bugging them about this? Just let them be. Goodness. Don't be childish about everything. But... I didn't want this to really become a thing, but now it's been kind of forced in reality. Like, there was no Zoe post or anything like that. You know, there nothing, like, even close to that. It was just brewing for ages. And comic book fans getting sick of bad writing and bad diversity pushes and bad being told what to think sort of comics. And here we are. I didn't want it to happen. I didn't want to declare it happening. I didn't want to come out as a former journalist and say, oh yeah, by the way, the culture war has a new gate and it's in, based in the comic book realm. Hooray! This is not a hooray. This is a shit. This is happening.
We really saw the first embers of this fire a couple years back. Do you remember hashtag change the cover?
Oh, yes. That I would say that would be one of the things that probably started the ire between comic book fans, the left, and the press.
And do you remember how the press tried to say it was a Gamergate thing?
Yes, I do remember that.
I have a feeling that the current situation that's going on is also going to be blamed on Gamergate somehow. They're going to try and co-opt that boogeyman to use to shut down any sort of criticism for what's going on right now.
Oh, absolutely. And they've already started going after creators as well. Diversity in Comics, who I've chatted with before and continue to chat with on Twitter and stuff like that. He has been doxxed and was actually, apparently Heather Antos, an editor at Marvel, was part of that. He has, you know, largely been stalked by them. Mark Wade has threatened him. The writer Mark Wade, you know, the same guy who wrote Kingdom Come, has threatened him for daring to go to the New York Comic Con. And then saying, oh, I just wanted to talk. There are other content creators, or other comic book creators that are threatening to hit roasters, like punch them in the face if they ever show up or try to goad people, mostly Diversity in Comics, but probably any of the rest of us, goad us into a fight. Which, let me say this to any of them, it's a very bad idea. Because two guys that are roasting comics right now and are very vocal about how upset they are by the current goings on, they're former military. Like, it's really not a good idea to goad them into physical conflict unless you don't like your jaw where it is. And I'm not trying to threaten anyone. I'm just saying it's not a good idea to goad somebody into a fight when they're tougher than you.
Certainly.
So, it has degenerated so fast that it's a little surprising to me. It's like they're just expressing opinions. We don't agree with you politically, but we're not asking you to dump your politics. We're asking you to just write comic books. Just try to write fun comic books. And you're not even doing that. I mean, the comics I have reviewed on this channel have largely been bad. America Chavez is my longest running comic book review series. I've been doing it for a few months now. By the time this goes up, episode 7 will have probably already dropped. And it's a terrible book. The art is bad. The writing is atrocious. And it's not about being a superhero or this teenager trying to learn how to be a superhero. It's about a teenage brat being a lesbian. And probably the most unlikable human being on Earth. It's bad writing. Then you've got The Unstoppable Wasp, which is now canceled, which is written by a Goonie Beard Man male feminist who looks like he's Devin Faraci's long-lost brother, who says he wants to write a better breed of princess story. Yeah, because that's the kind of guy you want writing a cape comic, right? But he writes The Unstoppable Wasp, and though the character of Nadia Pym, in my opinion, was a total sweetheart, who I think that in the hands of a much better writer would have come across much better. But it was basically, I fucking love science, the book, which really just means I love memes, the book. Because they're like the science facts that were in it were stupid statements. Like, oh, this is how a ball joint works. Okay? Yes, I learned this in high school, and, like, give me something unique about this. But there was just a complete total inability to, and it tried to just shoehorn feminism into everything. And there was maybe, I would say probably about one or two points where the book was, like I said, just, like, legitimately made me go, hey, I like this character. And I'll give the writer credit on what they were. So to the writer, I don't know if he'll ever watch this, but let me say this: his scene where he had Nadia go into the immigration office, and she was basically kind to everyone that she met, that told me a lot about her as a character. That was good writing. There's another scene. So Hank Pym is her father, right? Mm-hmm. But Janet Van Dyne is not her mom. It was Hank's first wife, a Hungarian woman. And she overhears about the infamous hit that will go throughout comics forever. You can blame Jim Shooter for it, but when Hank backhanded his wife. And Janet is basically her stepmom, who kind of settles into a maternal role in this book. And when they have the talk about what happened and how hard it was to forgive Hank, genuinely a well-written sequence. It's a tough subject to handle. He did it with grace. He did not treat Hank Pym like a monster, even though most feminists would do that. He treated Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne and Nadia Pym like humans. And I was genuinely shocked by that as I read this series. I wanted to review that book so bad, but once the comic got canceled, I said there's no point anymore. So, to the writer's credit, those two scenes were good. The rest of the book was not. But I think he's one of those writers that I think he could write a good story with similar themes for an indie imprint and at least probably get some critical acclaim. This was not a book, though, that was going to have mainstream appeal. It just wasn't. So it's unfortunate, but that's how it rolls. You got to play to your audience, man. Like this is not Marvel Comics is like Papa John's pizza. Marvel Comics has always been the best comic book imprint up until now, because it was much more character focused. Much deeper, and able to tackle tough political issues with nuance. Can't anymore. But Make Mine Marvel was always my statement when it came to comics until recently. And it's unfortunate. Like, once you hit 2010, it just kind of goes way down. So, and then Mark Waid's Champions. Is Social Justice the book? Like, and you were actually, when you were with me in Illinois, we read like the most recent three issues I reviewed together.
Mm-hmm.
And hilariously bad. Especially the part where the champion's name gets trademarked. we're supposed to find that horrifying, right?
You remember my reaction to that, right?
Oh, we were laughing our asses off. It was great. I remember when I did the video, I played like a bunch of game over and fail horn sounds on each of their faces as they looked so shocked. Because that's what it was. It was just complete and utter hilarity, because we're supposed to, you know, like the audience is supposed to find that appalling. It's like, no, I think that these young heroes are stupid. And that's basically it. And Mark Waid has done a lot of great, great books, honestly. A lot of great books. This is just not it. And it's just a disappointment to see him take these young heroes and continue with the narrative as opposed to actually writing an interesting comic. I've read every issue up to the most current one, and there's maybe like 2 out of 12 books. So he's been writing this comic for a year. 2 out of 12 books were enjoyable. 2. Incredible. Because, and like with the Wasp thing, there are just like little inklings of this could go well if you did X, and he doesn't do it. I did find it funny that the hero he created, the Red Locust, who actually has an interesting backstory, where her family was basically trackers that helped guide people through trails during the Aztec days. And what I found funny is that she has huge tracts of land. And in this day and age, for a hero to be curvy, that is saying something. But there is an obvious push for politicization here of just comic books in general. And these writers just continue to do it. And the comic book press is more than happy to just kind of go along with it. I was making fun of the guy this morning when I was doing laundry here at the hotel. And there was a guy who people are calling Dandelion Boy, who works for a Bleeding Cool, who said that America Chavez deserves to be deified in comic books. Yeah. And Gabby Rivera, the writer of America Chavez, said this on Twitter, said, "I'm tired of family members and Latinx folks in the media defending whiteness and police and Trump. Nope, how are you gonna serve us to the lions?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I missed the death camps for Latin folks. Is it past Starbucks? Did I miss it on the way to Krispy Kreme? I don't know. Though I'm not really going to Krispy Kreme anymore. As you can see, my arm is thinner. For those of you who are listening to the audio, my arms are thinner. But I've lost a small deal of weight since I've come down here to Texas. Mostly through sweat, but also through workouts. But my point being is that, again, this is a rampant politicization of a form of media that people just don't want to see politicized. And I've been talking too much. Hatman, what's kind of your observation of what's going on here?
Well, what I'm seeing a lot is more gatekeeping. When Diversity in Comics put up his video where he said that every comics professional that had followed him on Twitter had been contacted by someone demanding an answer as to why they were following him, to the point where some of them had to actually message him saying, "Hey, I have to unfollow you now to protect my career." And to Diversity in Comics' credit, he said, "You do what you have to. Your career comes first." But the fact that they would go that far to actively start harassing people just for following a guy on Twitter who's nothing more than just critical of the current state of comic books is absolutely absurd. I mean, we know they desperately want to build a narrative that everyone who follows Diversity in Comics or Captain Cummings or whoever is a racist, sexist, Islamophobe, homophobe, transphobe, fill in the blank here, fascist, whatever. They so desperately want to do that, but they're not waiting for some event to happen. They're not waiting to make some link to it. They're just going about it early on, so they can pull people who would support him, threaten them, harass them, target their livelihoods, just for not, they don't even have to agree with the dude. Just by following him on Twitter. I mean, thank God you can't tell who subscribes to whom on YouTube that easily.
Yeah.
But my God. These gatekeeping tactics are not doing them any favors at all. But of course, if they're criticized for it, it's right back to, well, we're protecting people. How are they protecting people?
Well, they're not. That's the thing. They're protecting people from the wrong ideas.
Yeah, but how, even in their realm of logic, how are they protecting people?
I don't think there is any logic here. That's the thing. I think that this is just pure reaction. Is these folks don't agree with us politically, and in this day and age, a political disagreement has become grounds for labeling someone a traitor. Traitor to what? I don't know. But that's just sort of what happens. And it makes no sense. Don't get me wrong. Like, it makes no sense whatsoever. But they do it anyway. Like, they're like, and this is a thing in Ben Shapiro did this book called Primetime Propaganda, where he talks about how Hollywood took over the left took over Hollywood. The comic book industry is no different than any other entertainment medium. And mm-hmm. We've talked to someone, I'm not going to reveal who, and there is a underground group of conservatives within the comic book industry that know that if they come out as conservative, they're never going to have work again.
Yeah. That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. And that's where we've come to. I mean, as if Hollywood wasn't bad enough, as if gaming wasn't getting that bad. Now it's entrenching itself in the realm of comics. To the point where you can excuse bad writing as, well, we're telling a diverse story, or we're doing this so we can attract new audience members that aren't traditionally comic readers. Read women, people of color, Islamic people, or Muslims, whatever you want to call them, etc.
Here's my question. Why would a Muslim want to read books from a comic book company that was founded by two Jews?
Because they have good stories?
No. That's my point about the absurdity. Is that when you make it just about ethnic background, and that's it, and that's kind of your surface level, it's never going to make any sense to you, because at the end of the day, people don't buy comic books because they are of X, Y, or Z group. They buy comic books because they're comic book fans, and that's the only group that matters.
Like I said, for the good stories?
Yeah. Well, that's the point. At that point, you're not X, Y, or Z group. You are just a comic book fan. And that's all that should matter.
Yeah. I mean, how many times...
Here's the thing. Comic book fans get into comic books because they like comics. And they like the way that they had already been written. And I was reading a leftist Twitter, an artist on the most recent American book, whose name escapes me at the moment. I was reading her Twitter feed, and one comic book creator, who actually is fairly sympathetic to what we think in regards to seeing these characters that we love getting screwed up, came out and said that the writing style that they are taking she understands exactly why people don't like it, because it's closer to an indie book than it is actual comics. Like Cape Comics, the stuff that really sells. And that's kind of the point that, you know, a lot of people are making is, these are Cape Comics. These are not supposed to be, like, independent stuff. Like, here, and here's the thing. Indie comics don't sell that well for a reason. It's because they're more avant-garde. Jason Aaron, when he knuckles down and, like, focuses, his Thor book, or his writing of Thor Odinson is great. But this is also the guy who gave us Sexist Absorbing Man and Feminist Throwdown in the pages of The Mighty Thor, which was one of the most cringeworthy things I'd ever read in my life. But he has a series called Southern Bastards. And he says it's a love letter to the South. It's really a big middle finger to it. And if indie style was popular and people wanted to read that style of comic on a regular basis, Southern Bastards would be moving 70,000 issues per installment, and it's not. I don't even think it's selling 5,000. So that's another gripe, is that there is a style that people like and works in these comics, of action, of suspense, of intriguing things that are going on. And because we're not fitting that bill, it's very hard to look at it and say, this is interesting, this is something that I want to read. Meanwhile, there's a lot of comics over at DC that are following that formula and are considerably more interesting because there's intrigue, there's interesting characters, and there's good character-driven moments, but it's still action-packed. There's still fun, exciting things to look at on the cover, and the art is still good. So when you've got bad writing, bad art, and a writing style that does not really keep the attention of somebody who's looking for just a exciting punch-em-up, what do you expect? How do you think people are going to react? You know, you can talk shit all day about Michael Bay. Michael Bay at least knows his audience. Michael Bay at least understands that people who watch his movies are there for popcorn schlock. They're not really there for anything, like, deep or meaningful. They're just there to see things explode. I don't read a Captain America comic to be preached at about how you think, you know, racial tensions are here in America. I just don't. And I don't trust any of these writers to be able to write that with any nuance. I'm ranting a lot today, aren't I?
Yeah. How many times have we said on this channel that we could excuse the social justice messages in these comics if they were at least written well?
Exactly. I mean, look at Chris Claremont as a really good example. Chris Claremont, you know, easily the best X-Men writer of all time. Nobody touches him. And he's the reason that those characters ended up gaining the popularity that they did in the long run. And he wrote a graphic novel called God Loves, Man Kills. It's the big William Stryker story. And for those of you who have never read the comic books version of the X-Men, William Stryker in the comics is not a general. William Stryker is a preacher. He's a televangelist. And God Loves, Man Kills is not a positive story about religion. It's not. But it carries a good message to it about extremism, about hatred, about bigotry, about racism, which some would consider to be a social justice idea. I would disagree on some of those points. But my point being is that Claremont could write stories like that and make them compelling and make them interesting, and they weren't just this blatant politicization. Now you contrast that to Ta-Nehisi Coates' Black Panther in The Crew, where he is blatantly trying to make a statement about the Eric Garner case. The problem is that the premise of God loves, man kills makes sense, because there have been problems with bigotry in the church before. It's a fact. It's an unfortunate fact, but it's a fact. And it's something that wiser Christians have had to deal with and kind of try to exercise from the church. Trying to do a comic that has ties to the Eric Garner case, and when the evidence doesn't, ends up making that case into one giant joke, if the premise falls apart, the comic book falls apart. Not to mention Ta-Nehisi Coates is not a subtle person. There are racist robot cops in the book. Need I say more?
No. I think you've said enough.
I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Well, what is the saying? Don't call it a grave, it's the future you chose.
Something like that.
God bless Ron Paul.
Think from an economic perspective, even. Why in the hell would Marvel be writing comics that would essentially appeal to a niche audience, expecting the wider range of comics readers to just go along with it and appreciate them in the same way?
Yeah, exactly.
And why are they questioning the lost sales there?
They shouldn't be. That's the point. And I want to thank a Twitter user called MechAniki for sending this to me. And he worked very hard on this. He put together this giant table for us comic roasters of the sales of these diverse comics and kind of like where they've gone. And it's interesting to see how the sales have gone. So All New Wolverine has kind of been all over the place in sales, but did dip under 30,000 units. A Wolverine book should not dip under 30,000 sold. At all. Because X-23 was not an unpopular character, I would think. I think people legitimately do like Laura. I like Laura. I don't like her in this book, but I like her in other cases. She was in the relaunch of New X-Men, if I believe, on the same team as Hellion and Rockslide and those guys back at like 10 years ago. And that was a good book. She was cool in that. But it just, it's not really catching on like they wanted to. Wolverine comics should be selling 60, 70,000 a pop. But it's not. And it's actually been announced that Logan is coming back. With Marvel Generations, Logan will be coming back from the dead, and he has an Infinity Gem.
Oh,
yeah. So that's interesting.
Are you sure it's not just desperation?
Oh, I think it's definitely a desperate move on Marvel's part. They need Logan back. He's one of their big earners.
Logan's coming back.
Because they
brought... I heard Fantastic Four is coming back. Even
no. They're not doing that yet because of they're pissed off at Fox and they don't want Fox to get a dime off that property.
I know that. That's why they canceled the comic, but I swear I heard Fantastic Four was actually going to be relaunched.
I haven't heard anything about it, but that I might just not know yet. So I haven't looked at the news today or really that much lately. But
if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So
yeah. But America Chavez, issue number 4, which was 3 issues ago, sold less than 13,000 copies. Black Panther, I did a video on this. Like, its sales have fluctuated, but it had, like, it's when it drops big, as like 25% of the audience drop. So now it's barely moving 25,000 units. Black Panther, World of Wakanda, got shut down immediately. Black Panther and the Crew canceled on issue number 2. Had a 50% drop in readership. Captain America, Sam Wilson. A Captain America comic should not sell under 30,000 units. It is sold under that. And they're like near the end of it, was selling under 20,000. Its Secret Empire tie-ins, which should have been a guaranteed sell, saw a drop in audience. Let's see. What else we got here? The Kate Bishop Hawkeye comics have bombed. Selling 14,000 copies. 15,000, 16,000. Like, it's not good. The She-Hulk comic, which is just being labeled as Hulk, selling under 30,000 units. Iron Man has been selling under 40,000 since issue 4. This is with Riri Williams. Captain Marvel. Carol Danvers, who, by the way, looks like a dude now. A lot of people are joking that she's transitioning until it stopped being a joke. And the writer said that that's actually, she's telling the artist to draw Carol Danvers like a man. And is to be non-binary.
Oh, dear God.
It gets worse. She's politicizing her child.
Oh, no.
For being non-binary and dressing a boy in dresses. I'm about to make a very bold statement that might kick me in the ass, and I don't care. That's child abuse. So the writer of Captain Marvel is a disgusting human being, and I'm not going to even review those books.
No.
Out of protest for what she is doing to her child. I can't remember her name, but fuck her. She's a disgusting human being. Point being is that that's supposed to be the new flagship character of Marvel now. Selling less than 20,000 units on the regular. Actually, wait, let me correct myself. 30,000. On the regular. Less than 30,000. If that's your flagship, if it's not moving comics, it's terrible. Now, Mighty Thor has actually stayed consistent, which is surprising. But the reason for that, it dropped a huge chunk of its audience right out of the gate. Because, I would assume, because of the shoehorn feminism. But when Jason Aaron dropped it, the audience leveled out. So, that's been a consistent earner, and apparently the story is pretty good. I haven't read it, just because I was so turned off by that initial bit. Mockingbird, as we know, got canceled because it couldn't draw a dime. I mean, it lost, in the course of 3 months, it lost 22% of the readership. Then of that remaining readership, they lost 33%. Then after that, they lost another 27%. Bam, bam, bam.
Who knew feminist agendas didn't sell?
Yeah, no kidding. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur hasn't moved copies, but that's aimed at kids. Miss Marvel, the Muslim Aloha Snack Bar, Miss Marvel.
Kamala Khan.
Yeah. She has sold consistently around 30,000 units up until issue 13. Now she's struggling to sell 20.
Good lord, sudden drop like that?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The issues have become more and more propagandizement as it has gone on. So they're selling less copies. What else is there? Spider-Gwen is selling fairly consistently, but I wouldn't really necessarily call that a diverse comic, except for the annual, which was written by a different writer. But MODOK Trump, I think that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
The Miles Morales Spider-Man, the one that everybody thinks is that popular, his sales have kind of been all over the place. So, yeah. Totally awesome Hulk. Asian Hulk. Fohawk Hulk. So, a Hulk comic. Usually a pretty consistent seller, right? People love The Incredible Hulk. This is the last 6 months. Starting from issue 14, so 6 or 7 months. 22,847. 23,623. 18,136. 23,020. 16,000, 17,742, 23,019. A Hulk book should not be selling that little.
No, certainly not.
Unbeatable Squirrel Girl has gone nowhere. Nobody likes it anyway, because the art is atrocious. And Rich Johnston, the dumbest dumb man alive in comic books, pointed out on Bleeding Cool that, oh, when Squirrel Girl was introduced, she was drawn ugly. Yeah. And that was over 30 years ago. She wasn't always drawn that badly. And if you're going to push her as a mainstay Marvel character, demanding good art is not a terrible thing. Because she was supposed to initially be a one-off joke character. But people found her so funny that they demanded she came back. And she's a meme, basically. So trying to build a comic series around her is just not smart. Unstoppable Wasp, when you look at its sales, you'll understand why it was canceled. Like, issue 3 barely sold over 12,000 units. And then it went under 10,000 for the next 3 issues. But X-Men Blue and Gold are actually selling pretty consistently. So, but then again, I don't think X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue are necessarily that bad. They're not great, but they're not that bad either. But my point being is that these numbers are not good. These read like numbers from back when comics were struggling. Back like 10, 15 years ago. Where selling 20,000... on a Black Panther comic was considered good. Because the Christopher Priest run, which is legendary, didn't sell that well, all things considered. Not as well as some of these books are selling, but it was selling really well for a Black Panther comic when the Black Panther was not very popular. So, we are in a position to close this out, to kind of put the final touch on this before we put our closing words on it. Well, the comics are not selling that well. The writers are oblivious to why they're selling that well, or they just don't care. The company is still behind them and doesn't seem to care until Ike Perlmutter says, you need to make money. And Papa Disney ain't that happy either. And on top of that, the press is more than happy to apologize for these books and try to talk them up because these people are on the right side of history. And that's where we're at. Comic book culture war. I never asked for this.
I don't think anybody really asked for this except for the people that are now instigating it. Mm-hmm. And let's be completely fair here. It is the instigation of the leftist writers wanting to push these agendas so hard that they are effectively pushing out the very people that made comics a thing to begin with. They are the reason why this is happening. This isn't even a this is going to be compared to Gamergate, obviously.
Yeah.
But this has none of, well, not none of the hallmarks, but it doesn't have the main hallmark that, that Gamergate had, which was it really got sparked off by, you know, the gamers getting mad. This got sparked off by the reaction of criticism. This isn't even like comic book readers getting mad. This is comic book readers just openly saying, this is bad, I quit. Or, this is how you need to improve your sales. This is a reaction from the writers. Nothing that the critics like Diversity in Comics have said warrant harassing the people that follow them. I kind of feel like that's obvious, but it still needs to be said. He has done nothing deserving of, or nothing to deserve, harassment that he's received and the harassment of those that choose to follow him or listen to him. And yet here we are.
And it's going to get worse from here. They're going to come after me. I know that.
Oh,
they are.
I'm sure.
I'm ready for him. I ain't even worried.
That's the thing, though.
It'll be fun.
We want comics to do better.
Yes. We don't want the... That's one thing we need to stress. We are not asking for the death of comic books.
No. Once again, we can excuse the messages that you want to throw out there. You want to centralize your stories around, if you at least write them well enough. If it feels like there's an actual moral to the story, as opposed to a big headline and the rest of it being propaganda, make it compelling. Make it something that is worthy of analysis on how it relates to the social issues of modern times, as opposed to throwing out a statement and that's it. The rest of it can be half-assed because, yeah, screw it, at least you got that message out there.
Yeah. We need to go ahead and bring this to a close, so I'll go ahead and give the closing statement real quick. The point is not to destroy comic books. The point is to make comics great again. It's basically the long and short of it. But if the attitude of comic book creators is make your own, I'm looking into it, just so you know. But we'll see where that goes. But the point is that we still want things to get better. And that's all we're asking for. That's it. Not really that tough of a demand. Drop the politics, just stick to what works, stick to the commonality, stick to the things that we all like. Because there is no point in dividing this country, even more than it already has been divided, which you say you hate. There's no point in dividing it even more over things we disagree on. Why not focus on the things that we all admire? Heroism, self-sacrifice, love for people. That there are stories of these people that are our modern myths that give us examples of how to be good, even when everything around you is garbage. That's what we're looking for. We don't need stories about whining teenagers. We don't need stories about lesbian space spirits. We need stories about people learning to be better than who they are, so that maybe we can learn something from it. We don't need propaganda. We just need something enjoyable. With all that said, my name is Micah Curtis.
And I'm Alex Baldwin, also known as the Hat Man.
And we will see you guys next week. Do not forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. We will see you later.
Deus vult.